Okay, sorry, the mom passed away? Okay. Okay, all right. Pray for them. Okay. Okay, let's go to the Lord. Father, there's needs. There's clearly needs everywhere. Whether it's food, getting groceries, putting gas in our car, those practical things, most definitely, those are things that we all struggle with at different levels, or we're able to help people and help us to do our part, Lord, in doing that. Pray for this tragedy that Stephanie just shared and for this family. Lord, your heart just goes out to these folks, and we just pray that somehow your message of peace and joy and love can surround them, that you can send people to help with the kids and the dad and the I'm sure the parents, the grandparents are still around. Father, this is so hard. And so we just pray that you would just surround this family with support and care, and Lord willing, the gospel of Jesus. Help them to wade through these things. This is where, under the sun, it's so hard to figure this stuff out. And above the sun, at least, you know, at least, quote unquote, we have you. You know, we have you to sort these things out and take us through these difficulties, even if we don't understand them as well at the time. But Lord, we have you, and I pray that this family would find that peace and hope in Jesus. And thank you for Arthur and Mary Jane sharing with Arthur's co-worker or former co-worker, and just pray that, they might read your word and get a different perspective on life and look at how life looks like above the sun from your perspective. And so we just pray, Lord, for the word to do its work, and for other people that we have shared Jesus with in our workplaces, in our communities, families, Lord, pray that the word would speak truth in their lives. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity that Shelley had last week. And we thank you that, you know, we are surprised. Why are we surprised? Why are we surprised when you're working somewhere where we weren't expecting you to work? So thank you, Lord, that you remind us that you're everywhere. You're everywhere. And so we thank you for the fact that there are people who, you know, wherever they are in their context, and even when they're away from home, they still want to get together to fellowship and worship and spend time with your people and with you. So we thank you for all these ways in which you remind us that you are indeed with us. Father, shoeboxes, food bank, different ways that we can meet the needs of our world and community, but also spread the gospel. Especially. So Lord, help us to do those things and be involved where you lead us, and so we can minister to others with the hope that we have in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. There's a few things going on. Fall, there lends itself to things starting up again and ministries going on. I mentioned in the email there is a Life Chain event today right here in Westport at 2 o'clock between 2 and 3 at the corner of, where are we, Rideau and Concession by the old school. This is a silent, you know, support for life. And so if you want to be involved in that, 2 o'clock there. Ladies Bible Study meets on Tuesdays over at the house next door. Bible Study and Prayer Meeting on Wednesdays here. We also Zoom that. Girls Club begins Thursday at 6:30, I believe it is. And you can tell I did the bulletin this week because Lisa was away and I forgot to put details. Board of Management, our meeting from last week changed to the 12th, so make sure you're aware of that. Men's Bible Study happening on the 14th. And talk to Tom if you want a book, or just come to the first one and figure it out from there. We'll do that for 6 weeks, six Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock. And then that Saturday evening, we're doing our outdoor progressive supper. And so there's a sheet over there. If you would sign that and let our hosts know that you're coming, just give them an idea of numbers. and Ray and Janet. We're going to Ray and Janet's for our appetizer at 5. And then we're going to Rob and Christine's. So we'll give you addresses next week. We're in Rob and Christine's for around 6 o'clock. And then I think we're going to Chris and Lauren's for campfire and, you know, get all smoky, right? You know, eat some s'mores maybe, or homemade pizza. Who knows, whatever, right? Pizza on the s'mores? No, yeah. Pizza s'mores. There you go. Anyway, that's that evening. And then Sunday, October 22nd, we want to start the Family Project DVD series. And again, there's a sign-up sheet there. Just let us know if you're coming and if you're going to be bringing kids so we can get childcare ready for you. Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes are here. Somebody asked me about that, and I thought, you know what? I assume we all know how to do this, but I should always remember to remind us how to do this. So there's the pamphlets, right? They got the name tags on there. You do it for a boy or a girl, and then there's age groups. If you go on Samaritan's Purse website, it tells you things you can't and can put in. Mostly don't put any liquids in there. That's the main thing. Liquids and like army stuff, right? Those kinds of things. But liquids, any kind of liquid has a tendency to explode, right? So just make sure you're aware of that. Shoeboxes, right? And if you're going to do a donation, you can do it online. You can also pack shoeboxes online as well. But if you're going to do a donation, put it in the envelope, put it inside the box, and strongly encourage you not to put cash in there, right? It's just safer. But anyway, that's the shoe boxes, and it'll be another month before we collect them all. All right, Rosanna, I think we're back to you.
Please stand. Sorrows like please be seated, and the kids can be dismissed for junior church.
All right, let's pray as we open up to the Word of God. Father, thank you for the Word, and just encourage us, challenge us, correct us, rebuke us. As Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, but the Word of God, and most importantly, so that we are equipped to be better servants of you. So help us to do that this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So Solomon finishes presenting the evidence that trying to understand life without God, an under-the-sun perspective, futile, vanity, meaningless, he issues a challenge. He issues a challenge to the reader, to the listener. If what I have concluded is true, okay, here's the end, here's what I've concluded, like, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Because if we're under the impression that all this debate about wisdom is philosophical or just theological, just for our heads, then we are sadly mistaken. And in these last 18 verses, Solomon is going to use the word remember at three key points. And that Hebrew word for remember, the Hebrew word Zechariah, right? Okay. Zakar, it means to call to mind so as to act. It's just not a mental recollection. It's a remember this, right, so that you do it. So like when your mom or dad said, did you remember to clean up your room? They weren't asking you to recite that to them, right? They actually meant for you to remember that so that you do something about that, right? And there's a great example in Israel's history how God uses that word for himself in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, where we read, during that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. And then chapter 3 begins, and what does he do? He calls Moses. See, God remembers, and then he acts. He remembers, and then he acts. And so he himself models what he wants us to do every time we open his word. Remember, so that we act upon it. Reminded of what he says in his word, what he's promised in his word, and now we are expected to be like him, to act on the word of God and believe it and obey it. So what is it Solomon wants us to remember, okay, in this word? What does he expect us to act on? Well, as he concludes the letter, did you notice that he is addressing youth? He's talking to young people. Ecclesiastes is originally directed to young people, right? He reminding them that, surprise, surprise, you don't always stay young. Sorry if I just popped your bubble, all right? So his motivation towards enjoying life from God's perspective comes from its life's brevity, okay? Will you and I enjoy life? Will we enjoy a godly life before it's over? Not just enjoy life, but enjoy a godly life. And so numerous times, Solomon has reminded us that life is a gift from God, that everything we have comes from God, whether we acknowledge that or not. And that only in knowing God can one truly find joy in life and endure the difficulties that life has, trusting him because he knows all about these issues. Back in chapter 2, when Solomon tried to find joy in enjoying all kinds of things in the creation, he said in verse 24, chapter 2, verse 24, he says, "One can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their work. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment?" So he makes his final appeal here toward the end of the book, especially to those who are younger and who never think about what? Life's brevity, right? When you're young, you don't think about the end of life. You just think, I've got my whole life ahead of me. I can live it the way I want. But Solomon reminds us, hey, it's not always going to be like that. So he says, light is sweet, it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years one may live, let them enjoy them all. But let him remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is fleeting, meaningless. Be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. So enjoy life while you're young, he says. Just like you enjoy the warmth of the sunshine on your face, he says, enjoy the pleasures of life, because like the sun, it's not always out. There are days of darkness as well. Matter of fact, as we move to winter, there are more days of darkness than there is days of light, right? And sometimes that's so true in our lives, right? Life has dark days, and there will be more darker days than you realize when you're young, because when you get older, there are things that you can't do anymore that you just took for granted when you were younger. So he's saying, pursue life, have fun, follow your heart. Now, let's be careful here, right? Follow your heart. When Solomon says follow your heart, he's not saying the same thing that positive thinking people say today, because he follows that with a disclaimer, right? Because follow your heart according to the ways of God. Don't forget to read the fine print in the Word of God. So Solomon is advocating pursuing joy in the context of knowing God and understanding God's perspective from his word, because he finishes verse 9 with, but know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. Well, thanks for that fun statement, Solomon, right? So banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor, he says, are fleeting. And often the word for vanity or meaningless should be translated fleeting, because he's talking about their brevity. And so when he says cast off anxieties and troubles, he's not saying, oh, just ignore all those problems you have. I think what he's saying is cast off the anxieties and troubles that you cause yourself because you're not actually following the ways of God. Because if you're not following the ways of God, you're going to have more anxieties and troubles than you could have. But see, that's what happens when you're young, right? You don't think about consequences, right? You know, it's fun when you talk about things that you used to do as a kid, right? You know, things that, dangerous things, risky things as young people, right? You got all your whole life. I mean, yeah, we can jump over ramps, we can climb this and that and do all these other things, right? My goodness. We bounced around the backs of station wagons with no seatbelts, with mom and dad smoking in the car. A lot of us did, right? Anyway, we survived, surprisingly, right? We were gone all day until we were called in for supper type thing, right? And these are things that people are like, you did all that back then? Well, yes, we did, right? John Piper wrote a book called Don't Waste Your Life. It's geared toward college and university age people. And talking about, living a life for God, because God is the most satisfying thing you'll find in life. And this is what Solomon's been trying to say in his whole book. And he's talking here to young adults, young teens, he's saying, because when you get beyond that, he says, life changes. And do it now, because the tendency is when you get a little older, you're like, well, the world says this is how you get happy. Well, I'm going to try this for a while. And sometimes that happens, right? And they follow the lies of the world, because they're going to be, you're going to hear them. And there are going to be people that will say, well, no, you can find happiness somewhere else. So that's why he says in chapter 12, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you'll say, I find no pleasure in them. And now he's going to talk about what happens when you get old. It's a lovely chapter, right? Right? Remember that your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you'll say, I'm not enjoying life as much as I used to. Life is getting harder. Before the sun and the light and the moon and stars grow dark and the clouds return after rain. In other words, before life starts losing its enjoyment, because in old age everything gets a little harder. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop over, we start to lose our strength. We don't walk as straight as we used to. When the grinders cease because they are few, you got a few less teeth than you used to have, right? And those looking through the windows grow dim. How many glasses we got out here? Quite a few, right? Okay. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up to the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, your hearing starts to go, and you're startled because, you know, older people get startled easy because they hear something, but they can't quite catch what it is. This is what I hear about. Okay? When we're afraid of heights and dangers, like the fears increase, right? We get easily scared. When the almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper drags himself along, we slow down. And desires in itself, generally speaking, perhaps sexual desires, right, are reduced. Then man goes to eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him, remember God. Before the silver cord is severed, could be talking about our spine. The golden bowl is broken. Some suggest he's talking about the skull. Before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheels, right? Our wheels, our legs are broken at the well. Again, I think all these metaphors are just, you know, for the ending of life. We break down. And the dust returns to the ground it comes from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Fleeting, vanity, meaningless, he says. And if you're not, right? And so Solomon is telling the young people, this is what it's going to like when you get old. And they're like, yeah, 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 right? And some of us are going, yeah, 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 right? But he's saying, enjoy a godly life and start it in your best years. Don't wait till you get old. Enjoy God now. See, if living for God by faith in his word and in his son who paid the price for this penalty of sin and who also gives us power over sin now, and sin only causes pain, right? He's saying, why not start as early as possible in life and enjoy most of life knowing God and seeing life through his perspective? Because many of us didn't get that perspective from day one. Some of us got that later on in life, didn't we? We didn't know these things. We didn't know about God. We didn't know about his word. And some of us came to know God later on in life. And we're catching up. And we're like, I got a late start. Some of you started with that knowledge in life, but in your teen years or young adult years, you're like, yeah, but I think there's other things to explore. I'm gonna see if there's other things than God in life that can promise joy. And guess what? You're back. Why? Because they didn't give you joy, did they? And some of you are just smiling and nodding your heads. You're like, I've stuck with God my whole life. Doesn't mean you're perfect. It just means you trusted God, and God got you through a lot of stuff, and he gave you peace in the midst of that. And he never left you nor forsaked you. And you remain convinced that without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who earnestly seek him. And I think this is what Psalm is challenging his readers with, right? Start now, wherever you are. Pursue God now. Find joy in God now. Challenging the ones who already know this to make sure you're fully committed to this, that this God thing isn't just something you dabble with because you have nothing better to do that day. And challenging those who are still trying to find the joy in the creation and not the Creator. See, if the creation is flawed, as Paul says in Romans 8, if the creation is flawed and groans in expectation for the end of the age when it too will be made perfect, then why chase after the creation if it's already flawed? Doesn't make sense, does it? So chase after the one who made everything. Only he can satisfy us. So he ends his letter with this challenge, in verses 9 to 14. Will we enjoy life to the glory of God? Remember your Creator. So it's an appeal to act on the knowledge that we have. And once God helps us understand the meaning of life, that life is from him and best enjoyed through a relationship with him by faith and faith alone, then we need to share that with others because they don't have that knowledge. How do we enjoy life to the glory of God? Well, we enjoy life to the glory of God by getting to know him more through his word. You know, there's broken record Bob again saying the same old thing. Yeah, I know. Solomon explains that wisdom itself comes from God, and even though he says he's explored all kinds of knowledge written by others, only God's truth gives us hope and purpose and joy. And whether it's him writing or someone else writing, verse 9 and 10, probably writing about himself in the third person, not only was the teacher wise, but also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered, searched out, and set in order many proverbs. He searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. And he says the words of the wise are like pointy sticks, right? Goads. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails, given by one shepherd, in capital, the shepherd is capitalized, right? Be warned, my son, of adding anything in addition to them, of making many books, there's no end. Much study wearies the body. A lot of people misunderstand that last line. You know, the many books he's referring to are the ones that are in the top seller list that sell millions and millions of copies and say, this is how to find a good life apart from God. He says, you can study them all you want. He says, they're endless. But they're in addition to the truth. They're instead of the truth. They're not of God. They're not from the one true shepherd. He said, those teachers who write those books will just make you weary because they're not offering us what is upright and true. The word of God acts as a goad. A goad was a farmer's stick. A farmer's pointy stick that he nudged his animal to go in this direction so you can plow or whatever it is you need to do. And that's what the Word of God does. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You ever been reading the Word of God, and it's just like God just verbally almost says, hello, are you reading this? And you're like, oh yeah, I'm reading this. Yeah, I got me, right? Right there. See, God's Word is God speaking to us directly. He teaches, corrects, rebukes, equips us to serve Him. So, remember the Word of God, act on the Word of God, right? Just don't study it. We need to apply it. Enjoy life to the glory of God so that others will know Him and discover His lasting joy. Right? Fear God. What does it mean, right? We've talked about this a few times over the course of Ecclesiastes. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. To fear God, from what I can tell in the Scripture, means to be so awed by how amazing God is that you are drawn towards Him even though it can be a little scary at times. That's why it's called faith. We trust Him who sees all and knows all because we don't see all and know all, but we know the One who does. And I use the illustration of Moses from Exodus 20, which I thought was a great illustration. You know, Moses, Israelites, right? Moses comes down from the mountain, the Ten Commandments. The people heard the thunder.